So the Shabbos beforehand, he was stuck in Los Angeles. And all the shuls wanted to know what's to say, what's going to be with Israel, the Shabbos before the war. He just went up to every shul and he said, "Don't worry, we're going to win. We're going to succeed. I'll see you guys at the Kotel Amaravi," which at that point was just a distant dream. We weren't going to see the Kotel until Mashiach came. But he was telling everyone, "Don't worry, we're going to win. We're going to succeed." He ended up coming back and going from commander to commander in the army and saying, "We're going to succeed, we're going to win, what's going to happen?" And ultimately, he got the word from the commander that we can do it, and he put a lot of pressure on Levi Eshkol, the prime minister, to go to war, and ultimately they did. They did do the offensive attack. Then, in the first battle, in the Syrian border, I believe, maybe the Sinai Desert, I believe, he joined the first group. He said, "At 4 in the morning, at the moment when the commander I was with crossed the border, a rocket fell upon us. We got a direct hit, and everyone was injured except for me." Everyone around him was either injured or killed, except the rabbi with the shofar and the Sefer Torah. "The driver got a wound in the neck and began to bleed. So I took a handkerchief from my pocket, and I tied it around his neck." Right? Like the Mata guys. "I didn't even have a bulletproof helmet to protect me. My shofar and my hat were burnt. We were 50 meters from the Egyptian border, and the Egyptians were shooting upon us all the time. I ran to the field and dragged the driver with me. The ambulance eventually came and took him away. I told the driver that I'm staying here in the battlefield." In other words, he could have gotten out easily. He was the chief rabbi. He said, "No, I have to be there. I have to be there with my soldiers. I stayed alone with my Sefer Torah in the field. I was scared for the Sefer Torah and for my head. I was sure that I would not emerge alive, but I wanted that if I went to the next world, the Sefer Torah should come with me. The bullets were all missing me. I began to say my tefillot. Somehow when the sun set, I went out past the border to the other side. When they saw me, the other soldiers didn't believe their eyes that I was alive. And the soldiers began to kiss me." It goes on. "I heard the next day that Hussein attacked the Ormon HaNetziv in Yerushalayim. I took my car and we traveled to Yerushalayim. Mata Gur told me by phone that we were focusing on fighting the Jordanian legion in the eastern city and not near the old city. He told me that the government had commanded him to surround the old city from all sides, but not to conquer it because the government is scared of war from the Christian world. I asked Mata if he could conquer the city, and he said that it wouldn't be a problem, but the government had told him not to enter the old city. I told him that he was missing the greatest chance of his life. That this, we have the historical opportunity to conquer Yerushalayim, and you're not going to do anything? I told him that it was on me. If they stop him, I'll go with you to jail. It's worth dying to free Yerushalayim." But I didn't succeed in convincing him. He was a soldier, and he had to listen to the orders which were given to him. Afterwards, it was told to me at 7 in the morning that the government had decided to tell Mata to conquer the city. I knew they would go through the Lion's Gate. On the way, as I traveled from the Rockefeller Museum, I met a hitchhiker that wanted to travel with me. It was a recorder for Galei Tzahal, and we recorded many things. You know, the Har HaBayit Bi'adenu recording? So that was the hitchhiker. I began to run to the Lion's Gate. There were constant explosions with the Tzanchanim on both sides of the road. Suddenly, I heard the chief of staff screaming, "Rav Gorin, they'll kill you! Come with me and get close to the wall!" I felt like I was floating in the air, and I was in the middle of the road. The Tzanchanim were on both sides. I told them that I'm the highest-ranking officer. Don't push me to the wall. That morning, at 4 in the morning, I had to run to get the shofar of the Nazir, Space Knesset. The Nazir was a student of Rav Kook. Remember, we learned? I told him I needed the shofar as we were going to free the Kotel today. He began crying and gave me the shofar.
Nazir was the one
at that point? Yeah, him and Rav Yehuda were one of the first ones to the Kotel. As soon as we got to the Lion Gate, I began to blow the shofar. Because the law is that at the time you go to war, you're supposed to sound the shofar and the trumpet. As it says, when you go to war in your land and the enemy which plagues you, sound the trumpet and be remembered before Hashem, and you will be saved from your enemies. I blew my shofar until we got a tank which was stuck at the entrance of the gate, barring entrance to Har HaBayit. So he's a soldier and there's a tank stopping him. So what does Rav Gorin do? I started to pray, and I blew the shofar, and I screamed at the soldiers. Oh, I jumped into the tank and out from the other side. So he just jumps into the tank, comes out to the other side, starts blowing the shofar and screaming, "In the name of God, we should act and be successful. Navo v'natzliach. In the name of Hashem, we should free Yerushalayim. Rise up and succeed." I screamed the whole way until we got to Har HaBayit, where I saw Mata Gur and his soldiers. I took the microphone and declared, "For the freedom of the old city, the western wall and Har HaBayit, on the 28th of Nisan, of Iyar. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Your God should call out. This is the day we have anticipated. Zeh Yom Kivinu Lach. We have rejoiced in his salvation. The dream of all the generations has come to pass in our times. the city of God, the place of the Mikdash, the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, the symbol of the Messianic redemption for this nation, has been redeemed today through the valor of the soldiers of Israel, the Mesiris Nefesh. We have fulfilled the promise of the generations. We have never forgotten Yerushalayim. The Shechina, which never left from the Western Wall, goes before the soldiers of Israel like a pillar of fire on our way to victory. We have merited to this great hour in the history of the nation. In the name of the whole Jewish people, we bless you with great joy. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehachiyanu V'Kiyamanu V'Giyanu Lazman Hazeh. This is word for word, from heart to heart. L'shana Hazot in the rebuilt Yerushalayim. L'shana Hazot V'Yerushalayim Abnuya. I told the soldiers to sing a tikva, but instead they broke out in song with Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, a new song which had just come down. I decided to go down to the Kotel HaMaravi, the first ones to the Kotel HaMaravi, which no one had yet arrived at. The paratrooper showed me the way through the Mugrabi gate. That's on the women's section. We'll point it out tomorrow. The door was locked shut. We pushed hard and the gates broke open. The sun was blinding at the Kotel. An Arab brought me a chair and I began to say Tehillim. After that, I blew the shofar. After that, the paratroopers came down and a minion assembled. I said a Kaddish for all the fallen soldiers, and everyone began to cry. And it goes on and on. That was just, for me, when I read that, I was crying. Because it's not just the amazing miracles of 1967, but you can really feel that Mesiris Nefesh isn't even a word. They were not scared of death. They said, it's worth dying. I don't mind dying if I die for Yerushalayim. How can I miss this historic event? They're willing to be put their life on the line, Mesiris Nefesh. And the Gemara says, in proportion to the Mesiris Nefesh that we put forward, Hashem lifts the veil. And we can see that Hashkacha Eliyona, that's Metzis Min HaKrachim, that he's peering through the cracks. What does it mean, peering through the cracks? You know, sometimes there's a minion, and Bezrat Hashem, you guys are going to find your Kala one day, and you're going to look through the little mechitza, and you're going to see a little finger. And you're not going to know what it is, and you look a little closer through the mechitza, and who do you see? It's your wife. From afar, you couldn't see it, but when you look at the wall, when you look through the lattice work, from the lattice work, you see the Ashkach El Yonah. The Six-Day War, if you ask me, was Hashem's lifting the veil and saying, I've been here the whole time, 2,000 years, you may not have seen me, but if you look very closely, I've always been there. Here I'm opening up the mechitza for a short period of time. I'm showing you, open Nisim Gluim, greater than the Maccabees. And we've got to celebrate that and recognize it's not just the miracles that happened. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifting out his hand and saying, I love you. This is Shir HaShirim. We have a relationship here, and I need you to lift your hand back. For me, Six-Day War is not just about celebrating the miracles that happened 50 years ago. It's about celebrating the miracles that are in our lives that for one moment in history became more obvious, but that are always there. A few more miracle stories while we have I don't know. What time is Shkia, guys?
37.
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell one last miracle story. I'll have to cut myself short. The conquering of Hebron. So the next day, Rav Goren says, okay, we've conquered the Kotel. What's next? I want to be the first guy in line to go to Hebron. So wake me up. So they didn't wake him up. So he's really angry. So he tells his driver, take me to the front lines. I want to be there to get back Hebron after 2,000 years. So he figures he missed the boat and they're already conquering the city, shoots down the lock. He gets in there, all white flags. The Arabs had surrendered. He's shocked, but he figures maybe they're scared. Maybe they're scared we're going to avenge them. You know, the Hebron massacres, they're scared. Where are the soldiers? He's looking around. Where are the soldiers? Where are my comrades? And he can't find them. He goes to the Ma'ara. He shoots down to the Zuzi, the lock. He goes into the Ma'ara. He takes the Sefer Torah out. He puts the Israeli flag there. And he davens and blows the shofar, the first Jew for thousands of years to daven at the cavern of our forefathers.
Can I just say just a quick comment?
Yeah.
It's just blowing my mind that this guy had his sense of self-preservation was transcended by a desire to be of service. Like most of the time, like my sense of self-preservation is like, well, I just want to be in the shortest line in the shuk, and I want to have the best seat on the airplane, and you know, it's like I have a sense of self-preservation. And it wants to make things easy for me, and for him, it was the opposite. He wanted to be on the front line.
He's part of the Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a prat anymore. Right? Shema Yisrael. He went and screamed, "Hear Israel, don't be scared. We're all one. There's nothing to be scared of because the Klal Yisrael will emerge victorious." Exactly. So he gets in there, and then what does he realize, of course, at that point? That the Israeli soldiers, the Israeli army, had not yet entered. They were on the other side of the road. They were planning the attack. He himself had single-handedly conquered the city of Hebron. 180,000 Arabs had surrendered to this one man in the schus of his mysterious nefesh for the Jewish people, in the schus of his ava, of love of this holy land. Crazy nisim. Afterwards, they asked the Arabs. The Arabs said that they had seen angels behind them, and they didn't know what to do. They were scared, so they put up the white flag. Gevalt, Hashem should bless us this Yom Yerushalayim, that as we started this, that we should know that this isn't just a part of our history, that we're a part of this history. We shouldn't be bystanders. We should write our own book of Tanakh. And okay, this is the last story, Mamish. So in Radin, in a long, long time ago, there was a Polish Jew. And this Polish Jew, he was scared because he was getting drafted to go to the army. So he went to the Gadol Ador, a little more than 100 years ago. Who was the Gadol Ador in Radin? The Chafetz Chaim. And says, Rebbe, Gevalt, you got this one. Rebbe, what do I do? I'm going to the army. It's terrible for my Judaism. I'm not gonna be able to wear tefillin. I'm not gonna be able to daven. I don't have any. How do I hold on? How do I hold firm? What did the Chafetz Chaim tell us? He said every day you feel your heart. Everyone, put your hand on your heart. You feel your heart. He said your heart. It's pumping. A Jew's heart. It pumps. It pumps to the beat of Yerushalayim. Feel your heart every day. Face towards Yerushalayim. Daven towards Yerushalayim. A Jew, you can never take Yerushalayim out of Yid. Gevalt. Wherever we are, Hashem should bless us for the next. Hopefully, we should be back in Yerushalayim very, very soon together. But wherever we are for the next couple of years of Shlichus, I want us to just feel our hearts and always feel Yerushalayim, feel our connection to this holy, holy land. We should have amazing, amazing Yerushalayim singing and dancing together in the streets of Yerushalayim.
Amen.
Okay.